or just a regular mute button on your phone to take care of that as well. So anyway, the other thing I might want to mention here is that feedback that you might hear on both. If you have the internet and the telephone both open online at the same time, it won't work because there is a 5 to 10 minute delay coming over the internet compared to what it is on the telephone. So if you get feedback, I suggest you turn off one or the other, and that would solve that problem real quick. Okay, with that, that's going to take care of my announcements here for today. And I have been assigned to be the speaker here today, so I need to get my notes out and prepare us for the sermon here today. I want to get wired in here so everybody can hear me, as well as the taping of it. We appreciate that, getting taped and being able to send that out to people. Well, I've titled today's sermon, Inherited Responsibility. I think by the time we get down here into the sermon, about halfway, you'll begin to see why that particular title fits the sermon here today. Inherited Responsibility. As the ending of this age draws near, we need to ask, does history show us any purpose for being called and chosen? Another question we might ask is, have we been given a physical or a spiritual responsibility? This involves all of us as I'm giving those questions to you. Another question here, why did Christ tell his disciples, that is you and I, his listeners, in Matthew 5 and in verse 20, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven? That's in Matthew 5 and in verse 20. So you can see there is some conversation there with Christ and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, knowing that they were at odds now and then. But anyway, that is what God is addressing there for us to read. But the significance of this verse is seen in the fact that the Jews of Jesus' day considered the scribes and the Pharisees to be the most religious in all of Israel. That is, at that time of history. However, their religion was largely an outward show of self-righteousness. And this is, I think, is where Christ and them crossed paths, because from God's teaching to us, as he has, that we're supposed to have be righteous, but not righteousness, to think we're something that we're not. And that's what he was addressing them, telling them that they thought that they were. It was very clear by his talking to them, seeing their actions, seeing their communications with other people. But Christ, in communicating the depth of his message, that is, use a series of comparisons between the outward behavior redeemed by the law, demanded by the law, and their inner attitude of the heart desired by God. So both are very important to have a handle on. Let me give you an example here in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God chose Abraham and his seed to carry out a certain assigned task, certain assigned responsibilities. And we've heard the stories many times of Abraham, but we're going to cover a little bit of that here today as we move on here with the sermon. In Genesis 18, the very first book of the Bible, so we should have no problem finding this chapter, Genesis 18. We will begin to see that it was God's purpose to establish a righteous nation of people. God selected Abraham and his descendants for that. Acknowledging this with me here in Genesis 18, you should be there by now, and in verses 17-19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him. In other words, Abraham could be trusted. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice in judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken to him. So God recognized Abraham would not delegate his responsibilities to other custodians or teachers when it comes to training up his children, or even his family might involve that, because he had a large family that's pretty much stayed with him. You know, teaching them, he did, God's laws and God's ways, and that was a responsibility that he took on, and God could see he would be the right person for the job that he was going to call him to do and be. But reading that story of Abraham, we find that God found a man ready, that is ready to yield with qualified obedience to his divine will, to God's divine will, to God's calling of him. You know, God also recognized Abraham has excelled all others in rearing up his children. That's why he had mentioned in that verse earlier what he was truly dependent upon, knowing he could see the responsibilities he took very seriously and honored. But Abraham instructed them to both of the law of the land and obedience of God's spiritual righteous laws, just as you and I have to do with our lives. You know, because we're still in this world. We still have to deal with this world, so therefore we don't buck that. We try to go along with what the laws are and yet not break God's laws, because God's laws have predominance over the land laws of any country you're in. And this blessed land that we're in, like I mentioned earlier, in the United States of America. But God could see that Abraham had extremely good understanding and was not used in a matter of superiority. You know, he recognized his special gift and talent were from God. And I think that was truly seen as we go through the story of Abraham throughout the history that he has left us to read of Abraham. But keeping the Old Testament in mind, we find in Isaiah 41 evidence of how Abraham's seed was being passed on to Isaac and to Jacob, that is, to fulfill God's will. Might keep in mind here that Israel was selected and certified to be God's chosen people. They were chosen to be his servant race. Notice with me here in Isaiah 41, and I want to read two verses there, 8 and 9. Isaiah 41, verses 8. But you, Israel, art my servant. Very clear language. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You, whom I have taken from the ends of this earth, and called you from the chief men thereof, and said unto you, you are my servant. I have chosen you, and not cast you away. So the term, my servant, is a Hebrew word, Ebed. E-B-E-D, Strong's number 5650. In the broad sense, it just simply means one that serves another. Two, it's a servant of God, meaning one who loves, obeys fully to serve God, not a rebellious child. As we know, rebellion runs through human nature. But that's why it was mentioned the way it was there. To be a servant of God, you've got to be willing. You know, there are those who object to being informed that God selected a specific race to be God's servant, to be the servant that God is calling and called. They insist that God shows no favoritism. But they eventually will need to come to realize that he made one physical family of people for the specific, for a special care. And they are called the whole house of Israel. You've heard of the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, two separate parts. But now I'm talking about right there that I just mentioned is talking about the whole house of Israel when Judah is included. So Israel, Lord of hosts, Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8 informs us, for he that touches you, that is, attacks you or harms you, touches the apple of God's eye. Boy, that's loaded with protection for us. God's chosen, God's servant, as we're being called in the scriptures I'm reading here today to us. You know, every harmful attack that's aimed at God's servant assaults the Lord. And that's what he's saying, don't do that. Here in Isaiah 43, two more pages or so over, and in verse 10, we find it clearly stated that God chooses Israel to be his servants again. You are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen that you may know and believe me. Well, back to verse 3 to 5, God declares himself to be the Holy One of Israel. Here in Isaiah 43, where we just read that verse that we did, and now verses 3 to 5 says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, since you were precious in my sight, and you've been honorable, and I have loved you, therefore will I give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. So God is addressing this whole physical house of Israel here again, right there. So these blessings that are reminded of places of the whole house of Israel over all other people and races is something that this sermon is going to be kind of about, because we need to have some understanding here of it. This protection from God is guaranteed to his servant race. You know, why am I bringing this up? So now is the question I'm asking you, why am I bringing this up? Because now it has become the spiritual house of Israel. Completely different. A different group of people. And if you are of the house, the spiritual house of Israel, you no more need to walk out the front door of your house and you'll find out in any conversation you have with your neighbors. Because they don't understand that at all. But today, spiritual Israel's responsibility is to carry out God's will. You know, God's gospel, God's good news to other people of the nations today. That's a responsibility God has laid on our shoulders. You know, without the English printed Bible and English speaking people, God's saving word would not have gone out to the world. You know, God's truth, the true gospel, would not have been preached to this world. We know there's a lot of preaching about God, but the truth, and so much of it, is not being taught. You know, we had a 1,000 postponements, Mystery of the Age booklets printed in Spanish 20 years ago. Most were never requested. You know, speaking or writing in a foreign language has never been the major door opener for God's gospel and truth to be preached around this world. We are on our fourth edition of this English Postponements, Another Mystery of the Ages booklet. You know, this booklet has been requested and sent to more than 50 nations, and they have mostly been given there because they ask in English for it, and we send it to them in English. And so it does make an eye-opener for us to see what I just said about the booklets in some other language besides English. even though I know there are those that do offer booklets in a variety of different languages, and there is a variety of languages in this world today that you and I are living in. You know, we're on our fourth edition here, which I was hard to believe that that has been that many printings for us of the booklet. But it's a popular book for people to read, and it's an easy book to read, and so it gives them some foundation to at least look into not only the calendar as we're describing them in that booklet, but also the calendar that of the Hebrew calendar, and because they don't need to look through the Bible to find any of that. There's nothing there of it. Where ours with the postponement booklet gives many scriptures showing what we're talking about and where God's talking about to us. But we are told in Matthew 21, that Christ rejected the house of Judah from sending forth his good news, that is, to this world. You might ask there, why? Well, because they refused to submit to Jesus the Christ as their Messiah and their God. You know, Matthew 21, verse 43 says, therefore, say I unto you, you might want to check that out with me here, in Matthew 21, and in verse 43, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, those who were in the house of Judah, he's talking about here, and be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's where Abraham comes in. That's where Abraham comes in with his seed, and we're recipients of that blessing. You know what God, what does this verse that Christ tells us here? It tells us that in the future, his plan to save the world would be no longer be dependent on the Jewish-speaking nation or on the Judaism's religion, even the one that was very, very popular during the time of Christ's walk here on earth. But on the nations that lack clearly God's word in English. English is the most dominated language in this world, and that's why it's in English. That's what God has done, to use the English language to promote his message. You know, God did not, and I'm just thinking here a minute, saying that to promote his message. And it's all free because God says to give it away freely. And you get on and watch these ministers on other churches and so forth. There are things, there are book sales and everything are not just like $25 a book and so forth now, today's. They're asking upwards of $1,000 because they're going to give you two or three booklets and two or three CDs and sell them to you. That's not giving away God's truth, that God wants the truth to be taught. I don't know how they get around the verses that talk about that, because it's very clear there are verses that communicate that, what I just said. But we do know that God did not bless the house of Judah for preaching the good news to this world, but God did bless the house of Israel to preach this gospel to the world, and we are blessed to be a part of that. Before the split up of these two households, God selected one family, Abraham and his wife Sarah, and their seed to serve him and fulfill his purpose. You know, the work and responsibility assigned to Abraham's seed, that is to Abraham's seed of Israel, was for the establishment of national righteousness and the extension of judgment and justice for all mankind. You know, the facts in history has shown that the Anglo-Saxon cultic people excel all other races because it is their desire to establish peace and righteousness. Not self-righteousness, but God's righteousness. The United States, Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and all the Anglo-Saxon nations have been involved in peaceful talks in one way or another. Why is that? Because Israel has been committed through Abraham's seed to strongly emphasize what God requires of us, that is, spiritual Israel, his servant people. So Abraham and his descendants were called to fulfill a purpose in this plan of God. Because this is God speaking to all of us, because we are in that plan that I'm speaking about. We are all spiritual Israel, and be very blessed to be called and been given that responsibility that God has placed on us. You know, we today as Abraham's descendants and inheritors of the promise and the covenant of God are given the job of carrying out an assigned part in God's plan for his age, for this age that we're in. You know, we do this not as a superior race, but as God's chosen servant nation, charged with the responsibility that cannot be evaded, cannot be ignored. We need to charge full head forward, and God's on our side to get the truth out. Not let anything stop us from that. Here in Genesis, reading Genesis chapter 26, Abraham's convenient was confirmed to Isaac. Here in Genesis 26, verse 3, here's where God is telling him, "And I will be with you, and I will bless you, for unto you and to your seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform an oath which I swear unto Abraham, your father. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Pretty clear to see why God would look down from heaven and choose Abraham and Sarah to be the ones chosen to be what we're talking about here today. So the blessings of Abraham were passed on in their entirety to both Isaac and to Jacob. You know, in blessing Jacob's family, each son received his individual portion of the covenant blessings. And Jacob's son Joseph inherited the birthright. The material blessings of greatness were not given to Judah, but to Joseph. And that's very, very seldom you hear Joseph's name mentioned in people when they're talking about this seed that we're talking about here today from Abraham and Sarah. Joseph is a person, a very important part that he played in this that we're talking about here today. But it was given to Joseph and through him to his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So evidence in this fact is found in 1 Chronicles 5. In 1 Chronicles 5 and in verse 1. First Chronicles 5 and verse 1. "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph and the sons of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright." So Reuben, as the firstborn, should have appeared first in the genealogy list. But instead they were placed with Joseph because of Reuben's sin. So things changed there in that lineup because of what Reuben had done. So the clear evidence shows that the birthright promises went to Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh. So all the material possessions of wealth, and this includes the territorial expansion, went to Ephraim and Manasseh. Judah never inherited this same type of blessings, nor do the Jews today possess these types of blessings. You know the little tiny piece of land they're living on, and the crowdedness it's getting to be with more and more people moving to Israel. But looking at the history of the state of Israel confirms that, I think, as you can just know anything at all about it or watched anything about it on the TV or read anything about it in a book. You're continuing to follow this history. Jacob and his sons emerged as a great company of people known as Israel under that leadership of Moses in the 19th and 20th chapter of Exodus. You know, the story is a pretty long story, but they all fit in things we've all read, things we all probably know very, very well. And any areas that I'm leaving out, you can fill in the gaps there, because there are areas that I don't cover everything. They can't do it in just a few minutes that we're on the telephone and on the internet. But God has established his government with Israel at Mount Sinai. You know, he delivered to them his commandments, his statutes and judgments, to which they agreed to obey and do. So here in Exodus 19, we can confirm that I just said. In Exodus 19, starting with verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. It says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, because all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel," commissioned, being commissioned here to do. "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord." Well, this confirmed a marriage covenant that was made with God and physical Israel. You know, the importance of this marriage vow or oath cannot be overlooked, I don't think. You know, we read in Deuteronomy 23, where instructions are given about vows. Over here in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Need some verses over there. In chapter 23 and verse 21, I want to start. It says, "And when you shall vow a vow unto the Lord your God, you shall not slack to pay it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it would be sin to you, or in you. But if you shall forbear to vow, it shall be no sin to you. That which is done out of your lips, and shall keep and perform, even the free will offerings according as you have vowed unto the Lord your God, which have been promised with your mouth." That was verses 21 to 23. You know, as a nation, Israel made a vow to the Lord, that is their God. You know, and God was requiring performance of that oath. Over here in Psalms 50, in verses 14 and 15, speaks of this. There in Psalms 50, in verse 14, there in verse 20, it says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay your vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." And I pray that's what we're doing today as we come together on God's holy Sabbath day here. You know, these words shall make a deep, penetrating impression, I think, on our minds and in our hearts, as it should. It's a very important words that were being read here out of God's word for our attention to be drawn to. You know, Israel has failed to perform the oath of their forefathers, and this has been the cause of Israel's national sin today. You know, spiritual Israelites today, speaking here of us, who have God's Holy Spirit and that have this knowledge, will not be held guiltless if they fail to warn those who are breaking God's laws and commandments, statutes, and judgments. We're told that over and over, many, many scriptures in God's Word. So those are familiar statements when I make them. Not need to pull up the verses necessarily. But through the prophet Ezekiel, God has warned us, that is you and me, that is of the church's responsibilities and our individual responsibilities. You know, we are seen as God's called ambassadors. And Ezekiel 3 addresses us as sons of men. Over here in Ezekiel chapter 3, we'll go next. I'm going to read a number of verses here. Coming up pretty quick here. But for right now, Ezekiel 3 and verse 17, he starts off that very verse. Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. We've been commissioned to be a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him not a warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wickedness, wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquities. But his blood will I require at your hands. Yet you have warned the wicked, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways. He shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So there's a reward coming by doing what God says to do. If we don't obey God, then there ain't going to be a reward waiting for you. Waiting for any of us. Waiting for me. You know, this is a life-saving warning and responsibility that all of us spiritual Israelites have to take seriously. You know, Ezekiel's message is a national and a personal in scope and contains three important clauses. One, it warns the house of Israel that tribulation and trouble are the results of disobedience and rebellion. And two, it declares a national and personally that man is to turn from his evil ways. And three, it summons the nation and its people to repent and make restitution, fulfilling its solemn vow made at Mount Sinai that we just read a minute ago. So the preaching of the gospel and the obeying of God's laws for salvation is personal. Should weigh heavy on our hearts and minds, especially in meditation and thoughts of us being in God's kingdom, wanting to honor God as he honors us, to be blessed, to be invited to be in his kingdom, to become the bride of Christ, to serve. You know, we're given another clear warning in the pages of Isaiah, here in Isaiah 56. And in verse 1 and 2, Isaiah 56, verses 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, thus saith the Lord, keep you judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness be revealed. So blessed is that man that does this, and the Son of Man that lays hold on it, that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Sabbath is a very important part in our lives of showing God we want to be in his kingdom, to preach his kingdom, to serve others from the blessings of having his kingdom and the knowledge of it. You know, God's Sabbath is no less important today than it was back then. You know, we find in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15 to 20, Moses set two ways before Israel, the way of life and the way of death. Here I want to read a number of verses here to plant them in your thinking on this sermon that we're talking about here today and we're addressing. Deuteronomy 30. And I want to start in verse 15 and I want to end in verse 20. There it says, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and you keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land whither you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not be prolong your days upon this land, whether you pass over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. This personal responsibility of a watchman has to be in tune with God's truth. That's why study is so important in your and my life of God's Word. Because we're not hearing too much truth being taught today. Well, that can only happen through fasting, prayer, study, meditating, and obeying God's life-giving words. Solomon recorded that God, in his wisdom, conceals many things in his word when he said in Proverbs 25 and verse 2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of the kings is to search out a matter. That's a responsibility of solving mysteries in God's Word, searching it out, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, the mysteries of the Bible, which are beyond our full comprehension, are proofs that it is indeed the Word of God. And that's been proven to me over and over, and I'm sure it has for you in many areas of your life. You know, the pity of all is that today men in scholarly attainment are more interested in destructive criticism of Scripture than in intensified application in research that they may discover hidden new truths. The churches of God are blessed to understand that. It involves all of us to understand that. And we know there's a famine coming of understanding, and I think it's already revealing itself in many places. Well, anyway, a skeptical approach to the Word of God is a sure bar against discovery of its great life-giving truth, concealed from the mind and is lacking spiritual discernment. You know, the Bible computes a multitude of blessings which will be showered upon the house of Judah when they are turned to God with their whole heart, which they have not done yet. You know, the eternal relates to Judah here in Jeremiah 29. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and in verse 11. I want to read verse 11, 12, and 13 there. In verse 11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart." You know, God's deafness to Judah's cry was amplified evidence of their sin. Not only had Judah broken God's covenant, but they had gone off into a corrupt paganism. Therefore, their fellowship with God was broken, so he would not hear their prayer request. He doesn't today either. You know, where there is godless living and lack of concern for others, that is, who are in need, and carelessness with regard to the clear instructions of God's word, God cannot honor their prayers. And you got to believe in Jesus the Christ, died for their sins, as we have to. But such a one stands in danger of divine judgment, however God answers the call of his own. That is speaking to you and I directly of his own when I say that. You know, we are to be more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees that we started the sermon out with. Then we need to search out God's truth with our whole heart and put it into our daily character building. Well, in closing, as ambassadors and watchmen for the house of Israel, you know, we must proclaim God's requirements. And what are God's requirements to us? Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voices like a trumpet, like an ambassador, and show my people, spiritual Israel, their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Postponing, meaning postponing God's annual Sabbath, is a sin. We are separated because of what I just said from the major churches of God. But with that, I'm going to turn services back over to Mr. Fleming for